Welcome to Sound Tradition, where we examine the theology, practices, and traditions of the contemporary church. My name is Jason Shirk.
And my name is Luke Hitz, or Gimpy, if you prefer.
Gimpy, okay. Yeah, we've been out for a little bit of time, as you know. I'd started pastoring about a year ago now, and life has been kind of busy with that, but we had some other things that kind of jumped
pastors
in there.
Just so. Preach on Sunday and then do nothing the rest of the week.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yep.
So we didn't do that we haven't had our podcast since, what was it, June last year, something like that?
Probably, yeah.
And then we thought about we'd do it beginning of the year, but then I decided to try to jump too high playing volleyball and blew out my other knee. For those who don't know, I had knee surgery on my left knee 10 years ago. Patellar tendon completely ruptured, and then I did the exact same thing back this past February.
Yeah, and he's been laid up for quite a few months now. So
I'm about 85% back. I'm at the point where I've got a jump rope. My therapist said this would be a good exercise for me because it doesn't take a lot, but it would strengthen all those muscles, the ankles and the knee and the hips. But I'm kind of scared to do it. I don't trust myself yet. I'm at the point where I just need to do it and use the muscles, but my brain says, you jump, you will fall down and it'll break again. But anyway, we're trying to get back into swing.
Yeah, so we're relaunching things here at Sound Tradition. I've got some articles we'll be posting in the near future. And also we launched a new podcast with Elena Brewer and Bella Shirk. They're doing Sound Tradition for Kids. So it's just short little encouragements for kids in their walk with the Lord and issues that kids kind of deal with from day-to-day basis, you know?
Traditional kids,
yeah.
I wasn't involved in the naming scheme. I'm just now coming up with a new name. Traditional kid. No.
I just put a stamp at the bottom for kids. That's what I did. Yeah. So, okay. Well, today we are going to be talking about a phenomenon that's kind of going on right now within multimedia and Christianity and conservatism.
Culture of America.
Yeah,
today.
Culture of America. And we talk about some of these issues because they have an influence on our kids in our churches and teens in our churches. And we need to know, especially parents need to know. But, I mean, the kids, if you're the teens and if you're listening to this, you need to know some things about this and not just suck up everything that you consume on YouTube, you know.
There's a good chance your boys have heard about him and maybe even listened to some of the things he has to say.
Yep. So the man we're going to be talking about is Andrew Tate. Okay, so I got a little bit of a bio here to give for Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate is a 36-year-old. He was an American-British internet personality. He was known for his kickboxing. He has his YouTube channel. He was on Britain's Big Brother, a reality TV show that was done by the BBC. And since then, he's pretty much been on YouTube and become very popular on YouTube. But the big draw to Andrew Tate is his harsh or brash form of manliness that neglects the traditional definitions of masculine virtue. It's kind of like a countercultural reaction to the feminizing of men within our culture.
Yeah.
And that's a serious conversation that we need to have within our churches, and it's important to talk about. But he became famous recently in June. He and his brother made international headlines when they were arrested in Romania on charges of human trafficking, more specifically. I'm just going to limit it to that. The prosecutors allege that the brothers were operating a human trafficking ring in 2021, luring 7 victims from the country of Romania. So that's kind of the background behind Andrew Tate and who he is, what he's been doing, and why he's so popular. And so we kind of want to fill in and discuss a little bit about this. I think it's an important topic because it's important for us to discuss what is biblical masculinity and show how that is different from what the world, whether right or left, is trying to push right now.
Yeah, I think it's important because how do I say this? The circles of churches I grew up in, we have basically ignored the problem. And you say, what's the problem? Let's try to maybe identify the problem. Maybe save this for another podcast and completely cover, but Jordan Peterson, if you don't know that name, I won't bother explaining who he is. Look him up if you want to. But he wrote an open letter to the churches. It was like a 10-minute video, and it was just him reading the letter, basically telling churches, "You failed, men. This is what you could do to be helpful to young men." I think to some degree it's true. It's like young men, there's a void of what does it mean to be a man? And our culture has basically pushed men down, said if you act like a man, you're toxic, you just need, it's reached a point where men are like, we don't want to get married, we don't want anything to do with women. Women, we think women are just so toxic. And there's this toxicity between
men and women. Yep.
So and it's actually, people are alarmed now. Scientists are alarmed. They're saying our birth rates are going to plummet through the floor because people aren't getting married, not having children. They're not even sleeping together. Like used to be, they would still live together and have kids if they didn't get married, but now...
Yeah, and actually in Japan, this has been scientifically shown to be a trend in Japanese culture. But I think when people hear Andrew Tate speak, there's something that resonates with them, especially for men, because we have been told you need to be more like women.
Yes.
You know, and men have been told you cannot try to achieve, you cannot succeed in this world, you have to be soft, gentle, and passive about everything. And there has been a reversal of roles within the home, so Christianity has influenced this as well. And when you hear things like that Andrew Tate says, those things are like, yeah, that's true. And so you listen.
Yeah, you'll hear a lot of things where you're like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, and like one quote here I've got from Andrew Tate here, and it's kind of convicting in some ways. And,
and yet
I agree with big parts of it. He says, if you're over 15 and you like cartoons, you are a loser. Anime, Dragon Ball Z, etc., no excuses, plus any woman loses respect for you. Grow up. Okay, when you hear something like that, there's a brashness, there's a harshness to it. And I think our generation needs a little bit of that. They need to hear bluntly. They just need to grow up, you know?
Yes.
But the question is, is the type of masculinity that he is presenting, is that a biblical image of masculinity? So there are things that he'll say that I could agree with. And overall, though, he takes the general tone of like a Donald Trump, somebody who's just going to point blank state what's on his mind and not care what the consequences are, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was listening to, he did a interview. He's done several. He did one with Tucker Carlson. He did one with Candace Owens. Yep. And I just listened to the one he did with Candace Owens today. And you'll hear a lot of things and say, I think he's right. Like he talks about in schools that because of the feminization, schools lean towards, you know, girls, they have a good time. Boys, they're squirming in class. Why? They want to go outside. They want to play basketball. So
part of the way they're geared, yeah.
But yeah, it's because it's the way men are geared. We have energy. We want to go do things. But then they're just told to sit still, shut up. And if they want to go out and play sports, it's like, well, don't try to compete too much. There's no winners.
Yeah.
You know, everything that the way men are is being suppressed from a young age. And he says something like that, you're like, okay, he's right. So he'll say things that on their own, okay, individual statements, that's a good point. That's right. The question we have to ask is, are there things that he's saying, and is there an overall philosophy that in the end is bad and we don't want our boys to be listening to and following? Can we say, listen, Andrew Tate, everything he says is fine, we endorse him, or do we have to say, oh, we got some cautions? Yeah. I have some cautions.
Yeah, I personally would say you should avoid him.
Completely.
I think there are other men who are saying the same thing, and you can find it. And we'll go into some of that. But I do want to deal with like the big elephant in the room. Okay, so we said he was arrested on charges of human trafficking. Okay, so if that's true, that's a big issue to deal with, you know. And so I've done a lot of research into this. I could have delved into it more, probably gone down the rabbit hole.
Right.
But I don't think that I need to. Just even listening to his most recent interviews. Andrew Tate really downplays this. In fact, with Tucker Carlson, he presented it as it's just a financial issue. Basically, the women he hired, they didn't get all the money they wanted, and so they're complaining is how he paints the picture. But when you actually go and look at the arrest reports in Romania, it is dealing with things like human trafficking and rape. That's what the charges are actually that are being leveled against him. So he's kind of downplayed it in order to preserve image, I think.
Well, when it comes to the accusations of rape, he claims that the woman who did it has been discredited. Of course, the case is ongoing.
Yeah.
He claims it's a woman just trying to get money out of him, that he's never done anything of the sort. He admits that in his past he's done other things that, as Christians, we would still think terrible men should never do.
Yes, yeah.
But it's still up in the air whether or not.
And as far as the rape side goes, I could say there may not be a case against him. I don't know. But generally, when you have a victim, you believe the victim until proven otherwise. That's the rule of thumb. Okay.
Well, yeah. So. Well, but in this case too, when it's a criminal case, and so we'll see how it turns out. But a person is innocent until proven guilty.
Yes. Yep. Now, as far as human trafficking goes, I personally believe he is 100% guilty, and I'll explain why. Okay. So
I'm not sure.
But yeah. When you go and you look up official reports on human trafficking and how it occurs and what the techniques are that are involved, there is what is called the lover boy technique for human trafficking. Okay. So I've dealt with human trafficking in India. We went to some seminars and tried to just help educate in that area while we were there in India, because it's a big issue, you know, and it's a bigger issue than is reported, because a lot of it doesn't get reported. But the lover boy technique here, this is the official definition. Traditionally, a lover boy seduces young, vulnerable girls or boys over a lengthy period of time in order to exploit them sexually later on. Okay, that's that's kind of the technique here. And like I said, with his interview with Tucker Carlson, he denied it. He said all this is just financial issues that he's being that are having to be dealt with. But then I watched a YouTube video from What Do You Meme? Have you ever seen that channel
before?
Yeah,
I know who that is. Yeah,
I think his name is Parham. Okay, but he played clips of Andrew Tate literally saying that he used sex as a tool to make women love him so they would obey him and live in his house and make him money. This is literally point blank what he said. It's easier to make money if they have sex with me. And then he has this program that he calls his PhD program. It literally means pimping hoes degree. That's what PhD stood for. Okay. Now, put some context here. He has since distanced himself from these programs. Okay. But this is how he made a lot of his money.
Yes.
And as we will see later on, he is not sorry about any of it. Okay. But in his PhD program, this was his technique. Meet the girls, get them to fall in love with him and sleep with him so that they would work on webcam for him. That's literally his three steps.
Yes.
Okay. And he said he doesn't mention the webcam until after he has had a physical relationship with them. He says you continue on as normal with them until after that point. And then he also mentioned that he has them sign their loans over to him, their savings and everything. And so that's actually the reason why he was arrested in Romania. And if I'm not mistaken, the report even mentions the lover boy method of human trafficking in the report. His brother also produced a video on how to seduce virgins and bragged about how he takes virginity twice a year from virgins. And this is a big thing with them, because they believe that you should only take virgins, because who wants used goods? That's their that's their words, okay? But he said, I'm going to teach men how to do this. And he says, you need to take time to be their boyfriend. There's no one-night stands in this process. But by the second month anniversary, you take their virginity and then you walk off, basically. That was kind of the teaching there, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I saw these clips, too. And if that's what he's doing in Romania, then he's guilty and he's going to be in big trouble.
Even if he didn't do it in Romania, he's guilty of doing it in America.
Yes. So, well, this is the problem. Yeah. When people hear the word trafficking, sex trafficking, their mind immediately goes to somebody who's like stealing children from Africa or wherever, and then selling them secretly on the black market to billionaires.
And that does happen, and that happens a lot. But
and it does happen. That's not what he's doing. But most people in America would say, you know, since we had the sexual revolution, people can do whatever they want.
Yeah,
it's not shameful in any way to do any of these things. So in the end, it's kind of we're at odds. It's like,
our culture is at odds.
It's like, do we think this is wrong or not? If it's I say it's wrong, so then I say he shouldn't have done this. But other people would say it's fine. Splash it all over our movies. Splash it all over the internet. People can do whatever they want. But if he does this with these women, now he's trafficking. I said, well, it's one or the other.
Right. And when it becomes trafficking, technically, is when there's coercion and means used of entrapment, basically.
Yeah.
That's, and this lover boy technique is one of those means. So, and then you have also the use of drugs is also not in his case, but the use of drugs is often used in situations mm-hmm. like this. Okay, so that's kind of the big elephant in the room. Now I want to talk about what I think about the whole issue of masculinity with him. And
this is why he's popular.
Yes, this is why he's popular. He says things that challenge young boys to step up and start acting like men, like they should, to not take failure as an answer. He says, if you're a failure, it's your fault. That's basically his philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you just get up and you try harder, you do more. And it's a very, very strong perspective. And I do think a little bit of this is needed in our culture because mm-hmm. boys are just sitting at home playing video games and doing nothing with their lives and accomplishing nothing yeah. and then blaming it on everybody else when they're not.
You could blame your yep. failures on everybody else and not on the fact that you're doing nothing.
Yes, yeah. So I think where we need to be very cautious with Andrew Tate, there's three areas of the morality behind the masculinity mm-hmm. that we need to be aware of. The first part of it is obviously the human trafficking and all that kind of stuff. This is something he promotes and he is not sorry about. He is still accepting of. He says, if it's your fault, if you're addicted to it, I'm just putting it out there, basically. Mm-hmm. That's how he looks at it. And I think of verses like Ephesians, which talks about having nothing to do with the deceitful and the corrupt deeds of the world, basically, and that involves mm-hmm. the sexual addictions, the sexual perversions, and stuff like that. So as a Christian, I should not be looking up to a man just because he's pushing masculinity who also pushes this sexually perverse version of masculinity. Okay?
Right. Now, there is still, there's the logical fallacy argument ad hominem, did I say that right? Argumentum, however you say it in yeah. Greek.
But this isn't ad hominem because it's not a personal attack on him. It's actually what he teaches.
Well, I may be mixing up which one it is. Let me put it this way, somebody can say something that's true, and mm-hmm. it's still true whether or not the person is terrible.
That would still be ad hominem, yeah. but what I'm trying to say, though...
Because if Hitler says yeah. 2 + 2 = 4, it's still true,
yes.
even though he was a terrible person.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say, though, is there are some messengers who the message is so corrupted by everything else that they say that it's right. not even worth going to that messenger to get the message.
Yeah, especially if you can find it in other places.
Yes, and you can. You can find this message other places. You can find it in yeah. the Bible, okay?
Yes. Yeah. This is the thing I find funny about this. It's mm-hmm. like a lot of these things, it's like the culture is coming back around.
Yeah.
Christianity never left these teachings. Mm-hmm. Some of the, not all of his teaching, but some of these ideas of the home, the man being the head of the home,
yeah.
the woman helping, raising the children, men and women being different. I think people like Andrew Tate and a lot of people in culture, they're seeing the downward spiral that's really, it started with homosexuality, but now it's gone to people. A man can say, I'm a woman if I want to be.
Transgenderism,
I can be a mm-hmm. dog if I want to be.
Yeah, I literally watched a video on a guy who yeah. spent, $10,000, $14,000 to make himself into a dog.
Well, somebody made him a really, really good-looking dog suit. Yep. But no, yep. they see this downward spiral of culture, and they're like, whoa, we need to get back to some kind of moorings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming back to things that Christians have been saying all along.
But usually with the world, it becomes a pendulum swing.
Yeah.
They go to the other extreme.
Yeah, I think he has push too far the other way.
So I think the sexual perversion should make us shy away. I think, and this was in his Candace Owens interview, Tate believes that men should never apologize. This is a little quote from him. He says, mm-hmm. I'm not the kind of person that's going to sit and apologize for his past. I believe all is well that ends well, which is utilitarianism, right?
Okay. Right.
Tate told Owens, I believe we're humans and we grow and we learn. I'd be a fool and I'd be disingenuous to sit here and say I'm sorry for something I did in the past, and I'm not going to do that. And that's his perspective is he's not sorry about any of these things that he did in the past. He's not going to apologize for them. And he spends most of his time excusing them. That's really where he is. But I think of verses like 1 John 1:9, when we sin, what are we supposed to do about that?
Confess it.
We're supposed to confess it, and Matthew.
Yeah, he says contradictory things.
Yeah, I know.
because he turned around later in that interview and mm-hmm. said, the ones he feels bad about more are the videos where he said there is no God, because he's been going on this journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has changed in the last 5 years, but he's looking to Islam now.
Yes. Yeah. And that'll tie into the next point I want to make.
But he saying he feels sorry about those videos?
Yeah.
He seems to be a little bit contradictory.
But he's definitely not apologizing and not backing down on the webcam pornographic stuff.
Yeah.
So
I think there's a little bit of nuance there, because if I could sit down and talk to him and pry at that a little bit, because he'll say that he did was wrong.
Yeah.
He said he distanced himself from that. I would never do that now. But he said, he's basically saying everybody's made mistakes.
Yeah.
Everybody's like trying to point everybody's past and cancel you. And so we need to just all move on and say, hey, I've learned and I'm a better person now and I'm not going to apologize for.
Yep.
So I don't know. It's not just the same thing as saying I refuse to say I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I think he is regretful, but he's not going to apologize. I don't know. It's kind of weird, some of the things he has to say.
But I do think another big piece of it is he believes in this idea of dominance of men over the women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would easily lend into the patriarchal circles where men are in charge because women are inferior in some inescapable way. That's kind of the philosophy.
Yeah, he goes so far as to say that because of their emotion, they can never make a good logical choice. They're always it's going to be fallacious.
Right.
So that's farther than I would go.
Yes. Yep. and that's part of his rejection of Christianity. So like I think it was within 30 days, he went from Christianity to Islam. Because in his mind, Islam expresses more of this dominance worldview that he has over the women. He has made statements that excuse polygamy, which Islam is going to do, you know. And
might be a reason why he chose Islam.
Yeah, right.
A little reason.
Another part of it is he believes Muslims are willing to fight for what they believe in, including jihad. So jihad would be a good thing to Andrew Tate. That's one of the tipping points moved him from Christianity to Islam.
He sees American Christianity as weak.
Right.
Because the men we don't stand up for what we believe in.
Yep. Yep. And there is some truth to
There's a conversation that could be had there.
Yep. But I do think that this misogynistic oppression of women, that viewpoint is something that is major to deal with. In order to understand biblical masculinity, you also have to understand what biblical femininity is. And that is that comes from God's word. What does God say about men and women? Genesis 1:27, they are both equally created in the image of God. In the image of God created he them, male and female. Okay, so there's both of them are created equal in the image of God. And you also have the teaching of the New Testament about how men are to treat their wives. It's not a position of dominance and putting them down and under your thumb. Rather, a husband is to live with his wife according to knowledge, 1 Peter 3:7. He is to love his wife sacrificially, Ephesians 5. And then just to respect in general is necessary from one man to anybody in society. So if you're if you're pushing a philosophy that demeans and pushes down women and makes them of lower status, that is an unbiblical viewpoint of masculinity.
Yes. But I do think here's some of the things he says that people would agree with. It's that men need to be strong. And we have a culture today that, because it's pushed men down so much, it's like, what do you do when war comes? What do you do when the wolves are at the door? You know, women want a strong man. And that comes down to this whole discussion about men and women. Why aren't men getting married? Why aren't women getting married? Women are saying, because none of these men are men. Now, a lot of their perspective is wrong, but this one thing is right. A lot of young men, they're snowflakes. They melt in, you know, 40, if the sun's too hot, they're weak.
Yep.
If somebody showed up trying to steal and pillage, it would be the woman would be the one to grab the gun and defend the house, not him. And so there is an aspect of this, like, okay, men do need to be stronger.
Yep.
We do need a resurgence of understanding what does it mean to be a man.
So I think what needs to happen, and this is really a call for that, is there needs to be a biblical understanding and teaching on biblical masculinity and biblical femininity. I don't need to go to the world to get my view on what that is. God's word has plenty of it to give me. And we need to be shaped by God's thoughts on what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman.
One problem is he's speaking very loudly and the cameras are on him.
Yes.
Yep. And he's like, Christians, what are we going to put back into the culture? Anything we need to find a way to get, how do we get the cameras on us? I don't know. Okay. Get our message out.
So hopefully this has helped to just open your eyes to the messaging that's out there. Be a little bit more discerning about the YouTube entertainers that we're imbibing and the messages that they're giving to us.
Yeah. Don't get sucked into the star power. Yep. It's easy to do. Oh, this person's amazing. Well, be careful.
Okay. As always, grace and peace be with you.
Amen.